He's the type of guy who says this right now, and then he'll play 2K and call everything bullshit about the game.
That's bullshit.
You can pick
that's
up.
Bullshit.
You can be listening to these frequencies that they give you, you know? And there's these guys sitting in studios working on frequencies that make you think differently.
What's going on in the world, if you could just go home every day after your job and go live in the world that you want to live in, why would you give a fuck what's going on out there?
Kevin Durant? Check. Kyrie Irving? Check. James Harden, check. Why the fuck did those three superstars lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers? Big Mike, I know you got something to say about this. I would love to hear you redeem your championship statements. Let's hear it, buddy.
See, this is why I wanted to start this shit off, because this is the kind of hating shit I'm talking about. You know, I had
hating.
He didn't show up for the last one. He comes in today and he's got to talk all this shit. You know, Mr. James Harden and Kevin Durant, they had their shine. You know, the big three, they just got their, you know, they're getting their cojones bigger. You know, they're getting ready to play together. Just let it mend, bro. Let it mend. You can't force this.
But Cleveland?
By the way, the Knicks just beat the Celtics, the number one team in the East.
Not just beat. They destroyed them.
Let's get
and you're telling me the Brooklyn Nets can't beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. Come
on, bro. Fact check. The Knicks have the number one defense in NBA right now.
Who?
Fact check.
Let's go.
Who?
The Knicks. They allow the fewest points than any other team.
Number one defense NBA Knicks.
Wow. That's
crazy.
Well, we got to, you know, give that praise to Tom Thibodeau, but
that's a great fact.
As a Knicks fan, though, you can't say that without saying they also have one of the lowest points per game.
Oh, yeah. Right. If they had offense, this team would be
defensively
good. Pretty good.
But you got to think about it this way. If you can get everybody together, and Trey, we're on the same page when I think it comes to defense, because your favorite team besides the Knicks growing up was the Detroit Pistons, and they thrived on defense. So if you got defense, you can figure everything else out. Yeah, you may have to make a few trades and a few different adjustments to the lineup, whatever it may be. But, I mean, realistically, look at our lineup. We have a decent offensive lineup. What do you think about that?
I agree. They're on paper very good defensively. And offensively, Randle is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
And Barrett is good too, but he doesn't come out every night like Randle. So, my opinion, they need that third guy. Third guy that's going to come in, you know.
That's what I was
every
saying.
Every night, and especially when Barrett doesn't come out.
So my counter to that is, I was saying the other day how Randle actually stops R.J. Barrett from actually producing more. R.J. Barrett's more of a driver, Randle likes to operate more mid-range and in the paint. So when he gets that ball in the paint and he passes out to RJ, he's not driving back out to the three-point line. He's staying low, so RJ has to shoot the ball. Now, RJ, he's gonna get his. I think he should come around, but I don't think RJ is a shoot first guy. He's a penetration wing, so he's gonna get to the hole. He's gonna finish. His shots will come with time, but I think the huge asset to the Knicks right now is that 25th draft pick right there, Emmanuel Quickly. Dude is nice.
It looks good. I don't know too much about him, but I've seen little glimpses here and there. I work a lot, so it's hard for me to keep up. But when I can, I've heard some good things about him.
He has a crazy floater game. He scores.
Okay, so he's a scorer. So he's not like a pass first guy.
No, he
can
pass too. He had a couple of games with a 7-8 assist.
All right, so connecting this with what we started off with the Brooklyn Nets. New York versus New York. Knicks versus the Nets. Who's winning this matchup? Marucci? No, hold on. What are you saying stop it for? You wouldn't say stop it unless you were worried about this conversation. Marucci, I know you don't watch too much basketball. Right. All right. But basing off what we're talking about right now, you know what I mean? What do you think would be the outcome?
So if you guys are telling me the Knicks got the number one defense in the league, and you know, Brooklyn, they got some all-stars, but they don't like to run back. They don't want to hustle back. They don't want to, cover the hoop. So offense wins games. Defense wins championships.
Oof.
You know, defense will study you, break you down. And that's honestly.
For a person that doesn't watch basketball, you explain that perfectly.
Oh,
that
was a great answer.
I do want to say this, though. I think the Nets messed up on the trade giving away Jared Allen.
100%.
That was a huge loss for the Nets.
Thank you, T.
Huge loss.
Finally I mean, an expert opinion.
Caris LeVert, honestly, he was nice, but he's not going to get burned with James Harden and Durant there. So it made sense to get rid of him. But getting rid of Jared Allen is huge because you got DeAndre Jordan now starting. Who else you got there? Perry?
I agree.
And you know what? Touching on and the last time that I was in the podcast, touching off of what you're saying, T, we had a debate about Rudy Gobert and Jared Allen, who is the better player. Mm-hmm. So for you to say, Big Mike, now I'm coming at you, all right? You to say that Jared Allen is super underrated and he was a key piece to your Nets team being successful about a couple weeks ago, and now you trade and just to get a big name on the paper, what does that do for you now? Because, I mean, you don't have any post defense. You guys got nothing down there except for DeAndre Jordan. But DeAndre Jordan's getting old.
I would not switch it up for not a thing. I leave it just the way it is.
And keep losing to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, we lost one game to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to do what you just said, the Clappaliers, the Cavaliers.
Well, they clap the Nets' cheeks tonight.
No. But listen. Just give me a second to just explain. Okay, listen, the big three finally got together, okay? Obviously, we've seen Harden and Durant can work very well together. They've done it before. Kyrie hasn't played with them before, okay? So, theoretically, on paper, of course, it sounds great. Does it take a little time to mend? 100%. They got to just get their game together. Honestly, I agree with the whole Jared Allen thing. That hurt, even though I think Rudy Gobert is definitely better than Jared Allen. But either way, that hurt that he left. But at the same time, I feel like these three we have, even with just DeAndre Jordan, who is older, but he's still a rim protector, a rebounder. You know, I feel like this team can go all the way just with the big three we have.
Hold up. Well, I got something I got to say real quick. So taking that loss, all right, who's got to change here? Because we talked about this before. When I saw KD and Kyrie play together, great chemistry. They did well together. Kyrie did his weird shit. He didn't want to play anymore, whatever the fuck that was about. Don't even matter anymore. All right. Then you had KD and James Harden play together. Phenomenal outcome. They played great. Now you have the three of them together on the court, which was my debate. And look at how they play. Now, do you think that's going to be fixable? And 100%. If so, who's going to fix it?
I got a scenario. I think that the Nets have a good possibility of trading for a big. They could trade for, let's say, Andre Drummond or a Cat.
Oh yeah,
or Anthony Towns, depending on who they give up. Now they might have to give up one of the three, but I think if you gave up Kyrie,
yes,
you could get a Drummond, or you could get a Carl Anthony Towns.
Yes, that would be mine. That would be my guy.
If you have James Harden, Durant, Cat, or Drummond, that team is unstoppable.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I would 100% trade Kyrie Irving and get a big man.
Oh, my God. Do you hear this guy now? This guy's all over social media talking about the big three. And now all of a sudden he's saying, yeah, I would totally trade Kyrie Irving. You got to pick a side. Which side are you going to pick on? Because obviously, you're going towards what I was saying, that the three of them are not going to be able to work. Your insecurities are showing right now.
No. I'm saying the big three, once they mend together, this is still a championship team. Okay. I think it would be even a more elite team if they had Harden, Durant, and a big man, and an elite big man.
As a Knicks fan, I would probably trade Mitchell Robinson to the Nets.
You're not getting Kyrie for Mitchell
Robinson. No.
I don't want Kyrie.
I would take maybe like a package of draft picks and maybe like a Joe Harris.
For Mitchell? No, I wouldn't trade Mitchell.
I wouldn't trade Joe Harris, though.
I wouldn't trade Mitchell, bro. Mitchell Robinson has really been progressing day by day. I like him a lot, dude. He's showing that he's going to be a future all-star. In my personal opinion, I see him being like defensive player of the year.
With the Knicks, though, this is it. This is the thing with the Knicks.
Does he have the most dunks in the NBA right now, too?
Yeah, he leads the league in dunks. They're young. RJ is what, 21, 20?
Something like that.
Mitchell is 20, 21 as well. Obi Toppin is, he's older than 19? Both of them, so he's 22. Obi Toppin's older. Quickly is young. So the Knicks are a young team. Now you're talking, this is Thibodeau's process of maybe even building a dynasty here. They have the keys. Yeah. They have the keys.
They're big. We got Mitchell Robinson.
And Nerlens Noel.
Nerlens Noel has always been known for his defensive. You know what I mean? He was a high draft pick. I remember they had a lot of hopes for him when the Sixers drafted him. My dad's a huge Sixers fan.
That's a young squad.
And Nerlens Noel is young. He's a little. He's not. How's Nerlens Noel? No, he's like 5-6 years in the league now.
He's in his 20s though.
So we know what he's going to be. He's a defensive guy, which is great because defense wins championships, right. Just like you said. You know what I mean?
But then the Knicks have 7 wins when they were projected 32 wins for the whole year.
It could still happen,
but I mean the early returns on this season so far is that defense is huge.
So you're betting the over? You're betting the over, guys?
I should have bet $100,000 on the over.
This guy calling me a hater every time, but listen to him.
It could still happen.
They'll win 40 games. And honestly, I saw a video tonight on ESPN that said that out of the 8 teams in the East right now, 1 through 8, who are the 2 teams that you are? What are teams you think won't make the playoffs? And the ESPN analyst didn't say the Knicks. Knicks are a 6 seed right now.
And that's a fucking plus for us Knicks fans. So all Knicks fans around the world and anybody listening to this motherfucking podcast, cheers. To all Cheers. Of y'all. Y'all don't see my cup in my hand. It's actually a water cup. But you know what? Still, cheers. Cheers to that comment.
But back to the original question, the New York versus New York question, okay?
So what do you think is going to happen out of that?
When's the next time the Knicks and the Nets play? I think it's sometime soon.
Anybody can look that up?
We got T is the searcher. Bro. You know, he always got that shit on point. And
we need to do a podcast on that night while we're watching the game.
Yeah, no, for real. I'll set it up on the TV.
So I can tear that ass up.
But either way, there's no way. I know we lost to the Cavaliers tonight. Okay, I understand that. I accept it. I'm hurting. I know. But there's no way by the time we play the Knicks that we're going to lose.
You don't even know when you're playing the Knicks, and you're already assuming that there there's no way by the time. That just shows you're a hater. You're a hater.
I want to say it's in a week or two.
We've been best friends forever, and I've always had love for the Nets, but you never had love for the Knicks. You're a hater.
Fuck the Nets.
Here's a question for all the fans. Do y'all think the gameplay, the whole overall gameplay for the players and the fans watching has changed, with no fans in the stands cheering them on?
I think sports in general is changing with no fans. Yeah, but definitely. I do want to say this for the stat. The Knicks don't play the Nets again until the second half of the season. They'll have the second half of the season out after March 2nd.
But they play at least three times.
Yeah, so they'll play two times maybe later in the year, and maybe fans will be allowed.
I don't know.
I mean,
about that
would be dope, but I don't think
we're on the right track of that yet. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the fans do have a huge impact because there's people. Like, whether if it's you're at your home crowd, if I'm on the Knicks and I'm playing at Madison Square Garden, there's nothing bigger than having everybody, Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx, Staten Island, everybody supporting that team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And you got some people who are supporting, Brooklyn, we got our own team. All right, whatever. I get that. But at the end of the day, there's nothing bigger than having New York all together on one side. Nobody would know better than my man Trey. My man Trey over here is from the Bronx. He knows what it is, and he knows anything New York related, they all stick together. New York is that type
of... They go ham on that shit.
You got to remember the Brooklyn Nets were in Jersey, so you got so many years of the Knicks being the only New York Metro team, and it would be like an expansion team just being created.
Think a lot of New Jersey Nets fans jump ship. When they went to Brooklyn,
man, we talked about this.
And not only just jump ship there. And when Brooklyn wasn't doing good, jump ship from Brooklyn to Portland because I like Jamal Crawford; he's my favorite player. And then all of a sudden, the crazy deal happens where KG, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen go to Brooklyn. Then Big Mike's Brooklyn fan again. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where your host of this show. That's where he stands at. Okay, so when you're trying to form an opinion, just know where his head is at. Know where mine is at. I've been a Knicks fan since day one. Stephon Marbury at my first Knicks game.
I haven't heard any net talk in like at least 6 years.
I mean, on paper though, the Nets.
KD
Nets right
comes
now.
And it's like post every day.
Yeah. I've been talking about Caris LeVert. I've been talking about the Nets.
No, you haven't.
I think
you barely even said his name right.
The Nets on paper right now are the better team though, New York.
100%.
You can't.
When
you got Durant and James Harden on the same team, that alone right there is.
It looks great.
It looks amazing.
Yeah, well, it's all about the chemistry, bro, which the Knicks obviously have a little bit better. They've been a team since the beginning of the year. This is the Nets' first time. But besides that, if we had fans, the Knicks would be a lot better than the Nets because the Knicks have a much better fans. New Yorkers stick together. And this, like the New York Knicks, they're New York as a whole, not just Brooklyn. They kind of isolate themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. So y'all take it over the whole fucking city now?
I mean,
okay.
It's definitely a factor.
It goes both ways, though. I mean, the Knicks had fans for the last couple years before that, and they were dog crap.
But we all stuck together, though. Like, you're still a Knicks fan. I'm still a Knicks fan.
But
the New Jersey fans dissipated.
I'm just talking about fans in general. It could either be a good thing or it could be a bad thing. You know, when you have fans screaming, RJ shooting 2 for 15 from the field, RJ might hear something like from the fans because, you know, Knicks, like, New York fans are so diehard. RJ, like, you suck. Like, get back in the gym, you know? Like,
I think that's
for
more
the most
like
part,
a,
though, the Knicks are like, they're so supportive every fucking year. It's even more, when they fucking suck.
Knicks fans, if they see hard work, hard play,
they love
defense, they're gonna cheer every second of the game.
Because that's what we know. Like if you're thinking about Knicks, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Blue collar, hardworking, you bring that back to what? Charles Oakley, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, you know what I mean? Alan Houston when he was healthy, you know what I mean? But like that whole scenario right there just showed heart. And that's what New York is made of.
All you have to do is show heart. And not even with like basketball, it's every sport, you know, like football, baseball. As long as you're playing hard, if you're diving for that ball or you're going the extra mile to make a play and the fans see that, you're the fan favorite, you know?
It's respected.
Exactly. It's respected and that boosts your morale. So if you make that nice catch, you're going to be elevated, like almost like a drug. That shit's gonna be like, oh shit, now I'm on my A game for the rest of the game. I made a nice catch, I got the fans' approval, and I'm ready to go. But then you got people on the opposite side, like I don't mean to bring it to another sport, but just for example, like a Floyd Mayweather. Everybody wants to watch Floyd Mayweather lose. It's factual. I'm not a fan of Floyd Mayweather. I'm one of the ones that wanted to see him lose. I respect him for what he does, but at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is he thrives off of negative energy. So that doesn't just exist in boxing. That coincides into basketball too. Like Michael Jordan, oh you ain't gonna do it. You said I can't do it. Hold up, let me show you something.
So I have something to say to that too, because like with fans not being there, you're actually seeing a lot of teams in the NBA right now actually overachieve, and then you're seeing some teams underachieve. So, I mean, I think fans are a huge thing, especially, for example, let's talk about like the Seattle Seahawks. If you ever go to a Seattle game, those fans are so into the game. Those fans alone can actually win you a game.
Greatest fans in any sport, hands down.
So I'm not big into, I don't watch too much football. Where the Seahawks did it, obviously, they didn't make it to the playoffs, right?
They did.
Oh, they did.
They lost, though.
They lost in the first round.
Yeah.
All right. So does that translate more heavily into football or does it not? Because I feel like football is more of like quarterback is the start of the show. And then everybody goes off of that. When basketball, it's like, all right, everybody can be the star. As soon as you pass me the ball, I'm the star. But like football, it's like, where does it go from there? Maduch, what do you think about that?
So going back to the whole defense thing, you know, football, they're defensive, man. They're smart. They're hearing plays and... And I feel like if you don't have fans in the stands calling out, you know, souping shit up, you know, you can pick plays out. You can, you know, oh, we go left. They go, they switching. You know, it's quiet. You get to concentrate. And like, there's pros and cons, like T said. So, you know, it can be bad for the momentum and all that, but it can also be good when the offense is running and the defense steps up like, guys, come on. We got to do this for our offense to stop this ball. Let's do it.
So, Maruch, if you were in any of those sports, which would you prefer? Would you prefer the tough love, or would you prefer the support? Which more would you thrive off of?
The tough love.
I relate to that.
Tough love, because every sport we thrive off shit talking. You know, like you said, that negative energy. That let me show you what I got. Ooh, you said I ain't watch this. Bam! That's where that star, that sizzle come through. That's how.
With that being said, T, I want you to answer this for me real quick. Who's going to make it to the Super Bowl? Who's going to be versing who in the Super Bowl?
Depends on who plays this week. I think Kansas City has a great chance if Mahomes plays. But if Chad Henne plays, I don't know. It's pretty even. The Buffalo Bills, on paper, those Bills up in Buffalo, They can ball. They can play some football.
Bro, if the Bills play Chad Henne, the Bills will fucking destroy them.
Yes, I think Patrick Mahomes.
It's not even close.
Let's be real here. Patrick Mahomes is like a, I don't want to put different sports into comparison, but he's like a MJ.
He's a legend in the making, and I don't even watch football.
You know, like, honestly, when MJ came into the game, he was turning heads from the rip.
He's like a Ronaldinho.
You know, there's some players out there that they struggle their first 1 or 2 years, and then third year they get it, and then they're good for the rest of their careers. Patrick Mahomes came in, and literally, it was like he played this game for 20 years. You know, so when you lose a player like that, that is not easy to game plan for. So, I can't say anything. If Mahomes plays Kansas City all day, if he doesn't, I'm leaning more towards the Bills. And on the other side of it, Tom Brady versus Green Bay.
Yep. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
All right. So the thing with Green Bay, this is the only thing I got. One, it's going to be a really cold game because they're playing in Green Bay.
Okay.
All right. So it's going to be a cold game. I think that favors Tom Brady more than anything.
Oh, hell yeah. From New England, bro. Yeah. You're from New England, bro.
But it does favor Rodgers, too, because he's been playing Green Bay his whole life. But at the end of the day, I think that experience is everything. And Tom Brady, he's still shining at 40. I mean, there's not a lot of players that could say that. He's still balling.
Yeah.
He has way more weapons. I think Davante Adams is going to get locked up.
And what about Adam Jones?
Adam Jones, running back game. I think the Bucs have a really good run defense. Both these games are going to be great to watch.
Yeah.
But it all depends on if Mahomes plays, because Mahomes doesn't play, I'm going to say Bills make it. But then that's a toss up between the Green Bay Packers and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, now, I'm going to say for sure Packers are in the Super Bowl.
Now, I'm a little uneducated, and I support that. I definitely want to hear more about that because I don't watch on a regular basis. But what is exactly Mahomes' injury that's withholding concussion, him from playing right now?
Concussion protocol is one of the hardest things to get around. I mean,
concussion
protocol is like COVID protocol.
Yeah. Because he could be like, I'm good, yeah, but yet
he smacked his head, bro. NFL, he smacked his head hard.
It's a whole process. NFL. And the way he tried to stand up during that game.
Yeah. He looked loopy.
He buckled.
When was that? Well, how long ago was that?
It was Sunday.
Sunday. Ooh,
wow.
So for 1 week, it's usually a 2 week thing.
Okay. And I think what it comes down to, too, is like it really depends on how he's feeling. But again, you can feel great and then take an MRI. You look at your CAT scan on your brain, and if it doesn't look right, you're not playing.
Yeah, but what's the signals that say it doesn't look right? Like, if I feel like there's not that many.
Doctors now that are getting paid to make those decisions.
They're going to be like, all right, it's probably not good enough. But then if you're Patrick Mahomes, what are you going to say? I want to play. Big Mike, don't you think that? If you're Patrick Mahomes, Big Mike, and a doctor comes up to you and says, this probably might not be the greatest idea to play. But it's your option, and your option is going to be what?
They're not going to do that.
The only problem with that is it's not the same as back in the day. The players don't have as much of a choice.
Is it because of that Will Smith movie and that whole fucking exposing of the whole?
It's mostly just the concussion protocol, period, man.
It's so very much. Strict nowadays, very strict. The concussion protocol, because there's like the long-term effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
So what do you think?
I honestly think if they allow him to play, of course he's going to play. There's no way. He's a competitor, bro. And he wants to win again. And, you know, he's not one of these players that are going to sit out. And he's not scared to play. He will play.
But what do you think would bar them from not letting him play? Even if they don't think he's maybe – it might not be the greatest idea. Why wouldn't they let him play if they're like, yo, I think he's good enough?
Because God forbid he gets hit again and – he has another concussion, and then he has some kind of damage that's done from it. The NFL is going to get so much shit from people and doctors and the medical community saying, oh, my God, how did you let this player play? Right. Back in the day, you break a fucking leg, you get a concussion, nobody cared. You just went out there and you played.
But what's that thin line that distinguishes that to be able to say,
it's more of the contract.
Because if you're looking at somebody's head, look at somebody's brain, I don't know too much about that, like, but, like, there can't be enough to look at somebody. Like, you can look at an arm. Okay, his arm doesn't look like it's fully healed. But, like, what I'm saying to you, Big Mike, is, like, how do you look at somebody's brain and say, all right, you look like you're ready to go? Like, I feel like it's a lot it's more difficult than that. What are you looking at?
It's not really like, I don't think it's really like brain scans or anything like that. It's more or less, you know, that's probably part of it. But the other part of it is just, you know, they're probably putting him through like mental tests and stuff like that and stress tests and seeing like how his brain, you know, they're going to see like, you know, he's got to be honest about, you know, headaches and stuff. That's where he could control. He could just say, oh, I'm fine. I don't have a headache or anything like that, but he might have one and he just wants to play.
That's where the CAT scans come in, because everybody gets a physical at the first part of the year. Usually everybody's healthy. You have to be healthy to pass. So you have a baseline. Whenever you get damage to your head, it shows up, and you can cross reference that to what it is now. And if it looks like there's something wrong, they're not gonna play him. There's so much involved too, because guess what? If the team passes him to play and he goes out there and he gets a career ending injury, that's a lot of money. One, that they're gonna lose out on. Two, they're gonna get sued probably.
The franchise, they literally
it's like putting money on something, right? You're putting money on future success. Mm-hmm. So they paid Patrick Mahomes so much money
to be the franchise of the future.
Is it worth one Super Bowl? If they go out and lose next week and he doesn't play, he might win the next three in a row.
Right.
But if he goes out there and he plays and he wins and he gets hit at the end, you make the Super Bowl, but now he's out for freaking 2 years.
But what the thing is that makes it the NFL different from like the NBA. The NBA has 7 games to prove your worth. All right, you got 7 games to go in there. The first 2 games you might be ass. And let's say if Patrick Mahomes was, let's say the NFL was 7 games, and maybe the first 2 games he was off, and then by the 3rd game he recovered. It's not that way in the NFL. It's 1 game, do or die. So with that being said, I feel like NFL. And listen, I don't follow closely, but every year there's a new guy. There's a new star quarterback. There's a new star wide receiver. NBA, you got the same guys who've been doing it for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. So with NFL, with that 1 game in the playoffs, you lose it, you're done. That makes it so much easier for somebody who wouldn't have that same opportunity and could get lucky in maybe 2 games in the semifinals and then the Super Bowl. Excuse my language for not saying it the right way. To get lucky off of that situation to be there. My argument as a GM, if I had Patrick Mahomes, I would be like, we got the momentum going. We got it. We need another one. Now we're going to be a dynasty. We're going to be selling jerseys. We're going to be doing this. We're going to do that. Or we're going to let our momentum die and let the next big thing come in and take over the show. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's not who's taking over the show. At the end of the day, people are going to perform how they perform. And I get that.
Yeah, but ultimately, it's not really up to the player or even the team anymore. These are like outside doctors that are coming in here. This is not
in the team's best interest.
If Kansas City says he can play, if Patrick Mahomes says he can play, but the outside doctor says he can't play, he cannot play.
Right.
Period. Like I said,
I respect that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's for their best safety. Now, how far do they really go with it because of liability? There could be a fine line, because players did this for a long time, and the amount of players compared to the amount of players that are okay at the end of the day, it's a very small percentage.
And this is like what wrestlers went through too, like WWE wrestlers going through fighting through all this shit. And you look at a guy like Chris Benoit, murders his fucking family, bro.
Right.
Like, it's a fucked up situation, but yet put on some of the greatest matches you'll ever see in the WWE.
Right.
But based off of, oh yeah, he'll be okay. And you know what I mean? So if Patrick Mahomes is in there, he's winning the Super Bowl. Is that the consensus?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. But who's stopping him?
He's winning against the Bulls. That's my opinion.
Right.
The Bills.
No, but I think that either Kansas City is going to win, or I highly think that Green Bay is going to win. But the biggest thing that goes on right now, if you really look at it, is the sides of the AFC and the NFC, the quarterbacks that are going at it. You got the AFC with these young new studs in the NFL who are really paving the way. And then in the NFC, you got these old guys. I mean, I was looking at stats, and it's like crazy. It's like between Aaron Rodgers and fucking Tom Brady, they have like X amount of touchdowns, X amount of yards, and they played so many games compared to these young cats who've only been in the league for a couple of years.
Let's talk about experience, one, but two, Tom Brady, what? AFC, going to the championship game every year.
first
and
year.
And then
he turned that team 40. Into the fucking New England Patriots.
He turned 40, and now he's bringing NFC
Tampa
team.
Bay, man.
Come on now. And look, the Patriots didn't even make the playoffs this year. I think Tom Brady was everything for the Patriots.
He proved his point. He proved his point.
But you can't say the Bucs do not have a team.
No, they definitely do. They're stacked. They're just as stacked as Kansas City.
Yeah, but if you're going to play with a guy named Tom Brady, like, what?
I know,
why
of course.
Not? But it's like LeBron James going to any team and then, I'm a free agent this year. Where do you want to play with? LeBron James.
Right.
If you're a football player, who do you want to play with? Tom Brady.
But you can't just, like, for this instance, like Chris Paul. You throw Chris Paul on any team, he's going to make them a playoff team.
That's debatable.
That's debatable.
That's debatable. I think he's been placed in really good positions his whole career, except for his beginning of his career when he was on the New Orleans Hornets.
And what about last year, OKC? What about this year, Phoenix?
He was in a good position.
What?
Okay, you know what? I'm totally mistaken the whole situation. By that time, Paul George was already playing in LA. So Chris Paul was on his own. Okay, I totally get where you're coming from. Chris Paul is that X factor. I think he's one of the most underrated point guards.
Definitely.
Yeah.
My opinion, right now, best point guard.
Really?
Yep. Look what he's doing with Phoenix
and
right now.
The sense of the meaning of being a point guard, where you pass first.
Pure.
And making the team better.
Right.
Okay. All right. I can't argue with that. Because
not necessarily on paper, like, you know.
Nah.
Obviously, 28 points, 13 assists.
Leadership.
You know, yeah.
Leadership. Being able to lead your people and...
He's no Curry, he's no Westbrook. He can't put up massive numbers on the paper, but he makes every team he plays on much better than what was expected.
But what about when he was playing with James Harden in Houston? All right, and it just brings me back to that one moment. I know you've seen it when him and James had a disagreement on the bench, and Chris Paul, being a man, like if me and you were to fight about something. Obviously, we're boys. We're going to figure it out. My handout to give you a fist pump is saying, like, listen, our disagreements are irrelevant. Let's make it work together by both of our standards. That's what I got from that fist pump. And the fact that James Harden smacked his hand and was like, fuck you. That's basically what that says. You know what I mean? That doesn't take away from Chris Paul. That just shows Chris Paul is a leader. And he was, even though he disagreed, he still did the right thing by saying, you know what? I respect your views. Let's just get together and get the dub. But then that goes and translates to what we were saying before. How can a guy like that coexist? KD is the only intangible figure. And I had a lot of hate when KD went to Golden State. But he's the only intangible figure, realistically, because wherever he's at, he'll take that back role and still put up like 25, 30 points. He'll still do it, you know, for whatever the team needs it.
Woo! You know I'm what sorry. I mean? Devin Booker, baby.
Oh, Devin Booker.
God damn.
What'd he do?
We got a live cast here. Nah, he just drove it like nothing.
Well, that's the game over. Whatever happened.
Yeah, he just ended the game right there.
So, like, what happens when you have three superstars headbutting with each other and you got to do it like James Harden, who has that belief like he did towards Chris Paul, a fucking veteran in the game. All right? You got a fucking veteran in the game and you disrespected him like that. Then you got a guy like Kyrie who says, I just didn't feel like playing. How do two people coexist? KD is, listen, as
I
much as I disagreed,
take a pause.
I disagreed with KD's jump to the Golden State Warriors, but I never saw a loss in professionalism in the way that he played and the way that he handled himself. I cannot have nothing but the utmost respect for that gentleman in this game.
And not only that, but two championships came out of that also.
And that's respect.
So there was no
I don't
bust.
Agree with how he did it.
Right.
But I respect him being a professional about it. Kyrie, listen, Kyrie's got all the chance, all the game in the world to be one of the best point guards and one of the best players of all time, have one of the best handles. They're already talking about it. They're comparing him with AI, the dude who basically invented the crossover in today's day and age.
Handles,
you know what I mean?
Without a doubt.
He took off of that, and handles-wise, he should be one of the best. But why don't we look at him as that? Because it hasn't translated. Yeah, he hit that game-winning shot for LeBron in Cleveland. But you got to do more than that. You got to do more than that. Because if it wasn't for LeBron being there, that opportunity wouldn't have even been there to hit that game-winning shot.
He changed since he's left Cleveland. He's like this whole
and one sets
different
of the manner,
person
though, but,
off
but,
the court.
But what do you mean, though? On ball? Oh, okay. So in a
off
negative
the court,
way.
Off the court.
Because I was going to say,
on
Boston,
the court, nah, he's still balling.
Yeah, but on Boston, he was pretty much a shithead towards the end of his tenure there too.
Yeah, it's all off the court stuff.
Yeah, but the off the court stuff.
I'm gonna quit a job, bro. I'm gonna be professional and be like, yo, listen, thank you for everything you did. I'm gonna shake the manager's hand. It's not working for me to be here anymore. I'm gonna give you my 2 weeks. I do not want to quit today, but I'm gonna give you my 2 weeks and let you know that I appreciate you. I don't get that same vibe from Kyrie.
No.
So how do you know that when shit's hitting the fan and the Nets, Big Mike's team, the Nets are going on a drought for five game losing streak, which can possibly happen. How does a dude like Kyrie Irving or James Harden handle that? KD's going to handle that like a fucking champion because he's the only one that's been a champion out of those guys besides Kyrie. But it's like, you know what I mean?
But
there was that extra factor in LeBron James.
Kyrie,
our generational
Kyrie
player.
Is going to be the... He's either going to be the X factor of the team because he's the one who can mend the two of KD and James Harden together, or he's going to be the X factor where he's going to fuck it all up because he's going to just cause so much drama. But either way, fuck that. I'm very hopeful with the Nets right now. In general, when it comes to like Chris Paul, though, like that's a player that, you know, is not going to cause any waves. You know, Chris Paul is only going to, you know, make a team better, like Trey said. And that's the kind of player that I would rather have, a player that's not at the caliber of Kyrie, have a better big man, but then have like a point guard that might not have the caliber of Chris Paul, but is more of a facilitator that can be that mend between KD and be the mend with James Harden.
So going back to what you said, Trey, because I wanted to ask you, what do you think is the change in Kyrie? Is it his ego? Is it him stepping up more as a leader, or, you know, like, what's that change that you see in him?
Yeah, it's more of his ego. I mean, I don't know. LeBron obviously had some sort of effect on him. Like, he didn't like being in the shadows. He wanted to be the main attraction, you know? So I guess, I don't know, when he went to Boston, like, I guess it didn't translate well. No. He thought he went to Boston. He's like, I'm the man. Look at me. But nobody was really looking at him. So he's like, oh, the earth is flat. You know, you know the rest from there. He just went on. He'd been in the spotlight off the court.
With him, man. That's the whole background with him. And it's never going to change. Like I said in the last podcast, it's like that kid who has ADHD and is playing a sport. You just want him to focus all his energy on playing the sport and not get too focused in on everything else.
The thing with Kyrie, though, is that he was focused on everything else other than basketball. And that is a problem. I mean, he brought up, I think he did a video interview, and he talked about mental health and what was going on in the world. And if you watch the video and his mannerisms, what he's talking, it's like he's like laughing about it. Like he's taking it as a joke. Stephen A. Smith, I think that was what he was. That was the video I watched when he talked about it. Stephen A. He did say things about Kyrie saying, you know what, like, you get paid to play basketball. I mean, it's not like something where it's like, if that's what you're feeling, then just let us know. I mean, Kyrie has that that personality of talking down to people. That's what he was bringing up, how, like, Kyrie treats his subordinates as peons, like he's better than them with the media. And I just think that he just has a personality for the media, you know, like, Kyrie is not a personable guy other than what he's feeling.
Well, right? You would think if he's withholding from a game or trying to make a statement, the fact that he doesn't make the statement clear on why he's not playing or why he's not doing whatever he's doing just seems more of a petty act towards a certain situation that we don't know about rather than a movement. If it was a movement, you would say why you're doing it so that people can understand and relate to it. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing it and making it disclosed, it's almost like I'm a Nets fan and you're not playing. You're not telling me why. I kind of take offense to that because those are 3-4 games we could have won with you on the lineup.
No, I totally agree with that. But, you know, I have a bigger question. You know, we really got into a lot of stuff here. We were talking about Chris Paul. We're talking about Kyrie Irving. You know, in general, in the NBA right now, if you had to build your lineup around one point guard, who would it be?
One point guard. Wow.
One star point guard.
Chris Paul.
I just want to say this, though. All right, when you say one point guard.
One star point guard.
One star point guard. If I had to build around one.
Right.
And wait, let me say, though.
Luka Doncic.
Like.
Luka Doncic is kind of.
He's not exactly a point guard, though.
But he is a point guard for that team.
He's a point forward.
But he's a primary ball head. Actually, you know what?
Trae Young's my pick.
Today's NBA, point guard is becoming non-existent. It's a primary ball handler. Because like you could be a point forward, you could be a point center like Jokic. Yeah, you could be a point guard.
Yeah, but you still need somebody to bring the ball up and set the offense. And without that, there is no point forward or so much focus because you can only have a Scottie Pippen coming up with the ball so many times.
That's just a facilitator before people catch on in general.
But in today's NBA, though, point guard means you can drive and draw the defense to the hole for you to dish out.
Open three.
And that can be anybody on the floor. You gotta have shooters, though.
You can't just do it. You can't just do it without having shooters.
You talk about Chris Paul, right? Chris Paul is a fundamental basketball player.
OG.
He's literally played in two eras of basketball, almost honestly. And yes, he's a point guard that's going to facilitate offense. He's going to set people up. He's going to tell people where to go on the court. But say if I wanted to make LeBron James my point guard, and you're going to be my primary ball handler, and now I have two guards next to him that can shoot the ball, that's just as good as a facilitating point guard.
Yeah, but the question,
guard,
you know? Right. The question really lays into...
All right, so if I had to say a true point guard. A true point guard today, I would say... I said Luka before, but he's not really a point guard. I would have to say Steph Curry.
There you go.
But like Steph Curry's aging, though.
And
I feel like he's been the future already. He's not the future anymore. All the Steph Curry babies are already in the game. And that's why the game is what it is today. It's based upon a 3-point shot because of Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
who is leading the new generation as far as point guards go?
That's where I wanted to go with the question.
I totally agree with that. Like, Steph Curry is still lethal as fuck, but who's leading the new generation of point guards?
That's where I wanted to go with the question. Like, do you mean like at their current state or
I'm saying
right now, like going forward, like obviously Chris Paul maybe only got 2 or 3 years left in him.
Yeah, but that's fine. I'm just saying if you had a single year this year, okay.
Like championship or bust.
Yes, exactly. Or bust.
Yeah, but that's so hard though, because if you have a point guard, you can't make that decision without having the pieces surrounding the point guard. So if you have a point guard who's good at distributing the ball, who is he passing to that's going to hit that open shot?
I know.
Who is he passing to that's going to hit those lanes?
That's not the question. You still need
a
true point guard. That's all the question is. Like we have Steph Curry.
Yeah, but
we have Chris Paul.
But what I'm trying to say is though, you can't name that point guard without the pieces surrounding him. Because if you have a guy like Chris Paul, then a bunch of scrubs, then where does the weight fall on Chris Paul?
All right, then
he can't do what he's normally capable of doing.
But then you're building your team around that guy. So you're building your team. So all the shooters you have are built around that one point guard.
Example in charge.
That's my point, though.
Example in charge is right here. Steph Curry with Klay Thompson is a different player than Steph Curry without Klay Thompson.
Exactly. Yes, so that's very true.
This year, Steph Curry is...
Steph Curry still has his game. Still doing Steph Curry things.
But... I mean, he's not hitting a three as good because he's not open as good because people are double teaming him. They're hedging harder on him. If there's a Klay Thompson on his wing, that hedge may not come and he could cross somebody up and hit a three. You know, it's a different game. You know, now.
But he's still top five in scoring.
You need to have that alleviation to make a point guard that person. Like John Stockton had a Karl Malone. You know what I mean? Jason Kidd had a Kenyon Martin.
Right.
Every point guard has to have that piece that makes them valuable, because if you don't have that person to pass to, then what are you? Then you got to be a scorer, because if you can't pass to a reliable person that's going to hit an open jumper or that's going to hit the right spot, you could be as good as any point guard in the world and be the best leader in the world. But if you don't have the people that plays their parts, that's totally going to kill the vibe. Because a point guard is the leader.
All right.
The leader has to literally orchestrate everything.
So a better question then, okay? Fuck that question. You just dissected the shit out of it.
I'm just being honest,
though.
You dissected
the shit out of it.
The point guard is a quarterback,
Who's
a quarterback? Who's
Tom Brady going to pass to?
All right.
If Tom Brady's not a running quarterback, that's not what he's built for. So he needs somebody to be able to pass to. So who does he have? Somebody who's got fucking butterfingers? Or does he have somebody who's going to be able to rely on?
New question then. Out of all time teams, okay, what team that was based with a superstar point guard would you want to be the coach of?
The whole team. Then I have to relate to what he said in Steph Curry. If we're talking about all time.
Right. We're going Steph.
No, but I'm saying you put it to a different topic into all time.
All right.
I'm going to say Steph Curry because of what they had during that era.
Okay.
A couple years back, 5-6 years back, when he had a Draymond Green, he had a Klay Thompson, and he had these guys that could play their role and do what they had to do. Right. When there was a double team on Steph Curry, he'd be able to dish it out, and he knew where to bring it. But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You got to have that option of where to bring it.
What do you think?
He had the right role players. That team was perfect for Steph Curry.
Wait, so you would say Steph Curry too?
It's all circumstantial.
I was a little confused on what the question was.
No, the question is the all-time team. So like me, I'm just going to jump mine out.
If I had say 15
an all-time point guard on an all-time team.
Yeah, so like an all-time team because Buddha wants all the shooters and all the players on the team with the point guard.
No, it's not just me though. You got to think about it in general, bro.
No, I know in general.
What does a point guard do? What's your responsibility?
You have to run the squad when you're going up.
And it's not just about you, it's about everybody. Right.
The old question generally was just, if you had to pick a point guard, which point guard would you want?
Yes, but that question got dissected. So now we're going into this. So let me just say mine. Mine would be all time, I would say John Stockton and the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
If I was able to even, you know, manipulate the pieces a little bit, you know, in like today's era, and I had a John Stockton where now I have all these shooters. Oh my God, how many more assists would he have in today's age?
Look at T, I'm gonna let you go. I just want to make this clear. John Stockton is all time leading in assists, or maybe passed recently or whatever it was. He's in the top five. All right. But with that being said, would that same situation work out if the same players weren't on that same team? Could he rely on a dude like Carmelo to be that big body to set that pick and then roll to the basket and know that the mailman is going to go against him? Mailman's a big dude. He's going to go against anybody. He's going to put that ball right up. But then the mailman wouldn't have been half as great as he was without John Stockton. That's
great,
my point.
You great point.
Point guard is such a hard position to dissect when you're trying to say who's the best. And it's all about who they played with.
That's a whole different example, though. Stockton, taking no credit from Stockton though, because Stockton and Malone, they played together for so long.
What I was gonna say, my bad, Trey. John Stockton also leads steals. The NBA in turnovers. If I'm correct, I'm gonna look that information up.
I know he leads in steals also.
I believe that, but hold on,
I got one for you. We're talking about point guards all time. Magic Johnson.
Flashiest, for sure.
That is the prototype of LeBron James right there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think Magic Johnson.
But he couldn't shoot.
Johnson in today's NBA would fry. Would fry.
Let me know when y'all ready for some stats, because I got some stats. The top three
what you got?
NBA career turnover leaders. Anybody can guess number one? No.
Kobe.
No. Karl Malone.
Karl Malone?
Karl Malone with 4,524. You know who number two is? LeBron James, 4,478. And number three, as I stated before, John Stockton with 4,244. So they're all, John Stockton was number one.
One is active still.
One is active still. Correct. But that just gives him a disadvantage in becoming number one, because his number one spot is way less than 100, like 75 away.
Yeah,
so LeBron James is going to have 75
another
more.
2 years.
I don't really fault John.
So you don't think
John
in
Stockton,
another 2 years
though,
that LeBron James is going to take that number one position in career turnovers?
No, I agree. I think he will.
I don't fault John Stockton, and I don't fault LeBron James, because they hold the ball so much.
Yes.
Karl Malone, that's though, that's kind of a weird number one, because he's the one getting the ball dished to. So, you know, he's not dribbling up the court.
But
he's
at
not,
the same
yeah, that
time,
one kind of shocked me.
Yeah, that shocked me too.
But it shouldn't be as shocking, because the Utah Jazz, who are you playing? Back in the 90s.
Lakers.
No. Exactly.
Well, in the finals.
But what I'm trying
Bulls,
to say is, if you're versing the Utah Jazz, who are you going against?
I just want to.
John Stockton and Karl Malone. So how many times is it going to happen where that pick and roll is going to get predicted, and Karl Malone get that ball in his hands, and they're, oh shit, we already know, and he loses the ball. He loses control. Being a post player where the game, there was no three-pointers during that time, so he couldn't fake a dude. You knew where Karl Malone was going. He's going right to the post.
Yeah, he wasn't shooting a three.
I just want to put the stats out here for my pick of Magic Johnson. From 1982 to 1990, he averaged a double-double in points and assists. And he possibly could have did it through 1981. He was just 0.5 off of assists. And he shot 50% from the field in every season except three. That's just...
That's, and you know that's what fucks numbers, me up? When nobody wants to use Magic Johnson in NBA 2K. Nah. I'll use him all day and I'll light up any team. Everybody, you hear me? Reverse the Universe, podcast universe. You want to play me in 2K? I will be the Magic Johnson Lakers and I will bust that ass with Magic Johnson because he was that legendary.
That's crazy.
And damn. I got 5 on it.
That stats right there. I mean, there's people in NBA today that can do five? That. But you got to say, in the 80s?
I got 5 defense. On it.
Defense. Defense. That. And he was still able to put up a double-double like that.
Legendary yeah. player. He super slept on. Yeah.
He even played so center. Center in the finals.
He did. Yeah. That hook yeah. shot. Where do you think he got that Kareem from? Kareem. He got that from Kareem. That hook shot. But Magic Johnson was the prototype for a guy like LeBron James. There's no LeBron James without Magic Johnson. Yeah. He honestly, played the position before him. LeBron James learned how to get a shot and figure out that.
You know what? You want to know somebody that, could, if they got a shot, could be like a LeBron James? Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. He has the potential.
I see that.
He can't shoot a three. But we're at the life,
point,
though,
where it's like kind of should have happened.
Right. Yeah, yeah. He's happened. At a point now where he should have.
The potential
took
was
the
there.
Next step.
Tell me if I'm wrong. See, how many years do we go in the postseason where we see on Facebook, oh, Ben Simmons hitting threes in practice. We right. see Ben Simmons hitting threes, and my dad would be the first one to touch me. Oh, look at Ben Simmons uh-huh. shooting threes.
Tagging me in so fucking true. Facebook
yep,
posts.
Tagging Big Mike because, you know Big Mike's my brother, so he knows where that stands. Yeah. And then what happens? He still does not capitalize right. on that. You got to be able to do that.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Ben Simmons has the body. He right. can drive to the hoop. He can pass. His court awareness is amazing, but LeBron James mastered the shot.
Yes.
LeBron did, James could shoot. You don't leave LeBron. Early LeBron, you'll probably leave him open. But after the first three, maybe 3 years might be too much. Maybe 2 years.
Did take a step.
He figured out how to shoot
so
the ball.
I got this, though. I got this, too, though. In terms of straight up ball dominant players in NBA, LeBron James leads the list.
Oh, yeah.
Leads the list.
He had to.
100%.
He had to.
100%. So,
I bring this to Ben Simmons again. If he ever can get a shot.
Develop it?
All that's missing from his game to take that next level.
Yeah, but that's so hard to say just to develop a shot. Me and Trey have played basketball for years. And this guy could go head to head. I know Trey's weaknesses and he knows mine. I know Trey could shoot out the fucking gym. But he can't drive, my bad homie. He can't drive to the rim as good as I can. But you know what? I acknowledge the fact that he's better at something than I am, and I'm better at something than he is. And that's just what it comes down to. So it's like, at this point in time, Ben Simmons should have already figured this shit out.
We're all old men now.
Same with Giannis, though.
Yeah.
Or Giannis.
I mean, I saw him hit a couple jump shots. He's still got potential.
It's inconsistent.
It's so inconsistent. Giannis, he's not a shooter.
If he gets that down pack, he's fucking unstoppable.
But then that just brings us full circle with today's NBA. It doesn't matter about size anymore. You could be a tall point guard. You could be a short point guard. You could be a tall center. You could be a short center. You could be a tall power forward. You could be a small power forward.
Because if you're a short center, you could shoot, and you could sit on the three-point line where a big center is not going to go up on.
Back in the day, it was like, how tall are you?
Right.
All right, this is where you're going to play.
Right. How much do you weigh?
He's going
down.
It's a
tall
game. It's not about that anymore.
How much size you
got? How good can you handle the ball? How good can you shoot? How good can you drive?
But, and that makes the game so much more unpredictable.
I want to go into Luka, though. I really do.
The future.
Because thank you. Because that's what me and Trey were talking about on the last podcast.
Did we disagree about something, Big
We
Mike?
Did. We agreed. It's fucking
that
great.
That felt weird, right?
It's weird.
That felt weird.
I'm about to say Luka's not. But either way, no. I said, imagine if Luka was like 6'11". 7 foot.
You can't say that though, because that would make him a whole different player.
Right.
That's what they say about Allen Iverson. Imagine if Allen Iverson was 6'6". No, he wouldn't have had to overcome those obstacles that he did to become good at certain things to become relevant. He's like, oh shit, there's a taller defender. I gotta lean to the left and pretend I'm going right just to fool this defender. No, he would have been like, no, I'm relying on this. I'm doing this really good. It's all about your obstacles, bro. You can't.
Yeah, but
you can't
either way, I'm just saying, if he still could keep that skill set and be that dominant and that tall,
six.
Yeah, but it's not realistic, though, bro.
6'11", Luka is just Jokic.
Yeah, dude, he's gonna be slower by nature. Exactly. He's gonna be slower. Luka's not the fastest player on the court, but he's just fast enough to where his slowness kind of meshes well. It works.
It works.
So it's like, all right, he's just fast enough But he's not that fast where he does like these weird body movements that make it believable. So, yeah, I would think he'd be a great power forward if he was 6'11 or center at 6'11, whatever the case may be. But you got to think these experiences make you the player that you are. When I was growing up, I couldn't dunk. I couldn't do all this crazy shit. I had to figure out how to go, and I couldn't shoot. Trey's a great shooter. How do I beat Trey? I got to figure out how to get to the hoop and do what I do under the hoop because I know what I'm not good at. So you got to think about what you can do and
versatility is huge.
But do you want to hear a crazy stat? You want to hear a crazy stat? When me and Trey did the podcast the other day, Luka Doncic, he literally, I still said it wrong. It don't matter though. I don't fuck it.
Doncic. No, say the man's name right. We're going to talk about it. Doncic.
Doncic. There you go. But either way, he that day just tied Michael Jordan with the most triple doubles at 16th in all of NBA history. Wow. Think about how many years he's only played. Yeah, the day after, he passed Michael Jordan.
But yeah, but that's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan played on a team for so long where he had to be the sole player of the team. And he didn't have nobody. Yes, that too incorporated, but he didn't have nobody to pass the ball to score those triple doubles.
But Luka's only played.
If you look at Michael Jordan's early games, I don't have stats in front of me. Michael Jordan was scoring 40, 50 points a game until Scottie Pippen came in the picture. And then the game changed. So how can you expect a guy like Michael Jordan to be, oh, listen, your teammates ain't that good, but we could kind of still do it if you just put up 50 points a game. All right, sure, I'll do that. And like he had to do what he had at that moment. Now you put the supporting cast. You put a Steve Kerr. You put the other John Paxson, those dudes who can hit those shots. Now you have less... you have more alleviation off of Michael Jordan where he doesn't have to have all the pressure on
him. Who does Luka play with, though, other than Porzingis right now?
It's not only that, though. It's these players today have such better advancements, like training, everything, yes, you know.
That is and true. The history.
Conditioning,
and
history. Technology. Dieticians.
You could look at Michael Jordan and be like, okay, I want to model
what
myself
did Jordan do?
After Mike. What I'm saying is you can say, oh, Michael Jordan? I can model myself after Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan,
who do you have? Dr. J. Dr. J, all he did was dunk the ball. Right.
And today, look at, you can improve yourself in every single area. You're not going to just be like one player. You're going to be the greatest passer, shooter, defender, driver, everything, you know?
I mean, like, today
there's a training session for every single area of play.
How many good all-around players you have on the team that could rebound, could pass the ball, could shoot, could create? Like, that's today's NBA, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just looking at it in the general terms of Luka's only been in this league for, 3 years?
You're right. Yeah, but you're focusing on different things, Big Mike. Every that's what I'm trying to say. You're focusing on different things. Luka is able to pass to people and do what he does, and it's productive. Michael Jordan, who Luka, I'm sure...
idolized.
To the fullest, looked up to him. I think 100%. Dirk was his number one inspiration. But then Dirk probably looked up to Michael Jordan, being from Europe. Oh, this guy is great at basketball. Right. I like basketball now too. It all starts from one starting point. And you got to realize how that person evolutionized the game. If that's even a word. If
that's
I said
a word.
It right.
That's a word.
Evolutionized the game to make it to a point where, okay, now, instead of being at this level, now we're on this level. Now you guys could go off of everything that I did, use that to your advantage, and make something better out of that. You know what I mean? And you can't put Michael Jordan in that argument with the triple doubles because he wasn't a triple double player.
That's not my point.
That's the guy that's
going to
drop
though,
50 on your head when he needs 50 in the game.
But that's not my point. I'm not saying anything. I'm not discrediting.
So what are you saying about Luka Doncic compared to Michael Jordan?
All I'm saying is in the future, it's kind of crazy to think about the fact that Luka did this in so few seasons. I'm just saying in the future, this is going to be Luka's league. You know what I mean?
I agree with that.
Yeah, I wasn't just discrediting Michael Jordan. I'm not discrediting Michael Jordan.
I totally respect what you're saying on that. My point is just realistically, you got to think about every player's what they have to triumph over, like what they have to overcome. And Michael Jordan didn't have to pass the ball. What do you think what's the guy's name who was the manager, the little short motherfucker in the documentaries, who was the manager or the owner of the
Jerry
Bulls?
Krause?
Okay, think Jerry Krause was saying, Michael Jordan, get the ball and score the ball. Get the ball and score the ball. Get the ball and score the ball.
Michael was like, fuck you.
Luka picked up everything he saw in his lifetime. And there's no better time to be an NBA player than now.
No.
The game is, we've seen so many people do so many different things, and now people are combining all those talents. And Luke is the best example because he's a passer, he's a rebounder, he's a hustler, he's the defender, he can do everything. But you can't compare those exact stats with a guy like Michael Jordan, who didn't have to pass the ball.
No, my whole thing,
he had to score the ball.
My whole thing is that Luka is destined for greatness, and if he continues, but like I was starting to try, you never know what's going to happen.
What stops Luka from being great? Michael Jordan signed him to a Jordan deal.
Oh, Michael Jordan and Luka teaming up. That's a great team. I like that team.
What stops Luka from being one of the best of all times?
Nothing at all. Bro, if he keeps playing at the level he plays, there's nothing stopping
him. I got an answer for that.
What?
Kristaps Porzingis.
If
Kristaps is not healthy, and they don't make a move to trade him for somebody who's going to compliment, those two complement very well. If they don't make a move that complements that, you could play triple-double every fucking game.
Right. But that was my point,
too. What did Russell Westbrook do? Triple-double every fucking game. How do we look at Westbrook?
He doesn't play with the best team.
Like an aging guy who's like trying to look for the chip.
Right. He doesn't play with the best team. But, all right. So I want to get into one more conversation since we were talking about the Bulls. I want to get into, you know, the coaches now. Because now we're talking about the Bulls. We were talking about the Lakers before, you know. But there's a team out there that has a coach who's, you know, just as legendary, but I feel like doesn't have the name, Mr. Greg Popovich. So,
wait, what do you mean he doesn't have the name?
Of course he has the name.
He has the name, but I feel like when you think of coaches, you're thinking of, you know, Phil Jackson of the Bulls or even Phil Jackson of the Lakers.
You think of Greg Popovich.
Automatically.
What do you mean?
All right. So then my question
is, first two coaches that come
who would you rather have as a coach? Would you rather have Phil Jackson or would you rather have Greg Popovich?
Me, I'd rather have Pop.
Yes, I agree.
He can translate a team. He can take your ordinary player and fit them into whatever role he needs them to be in.
Now, how many times has he been in that position where it's been like, okay, I could say that's what he does? Because I can only think of one
every year.
No, I'm saying I can only think of one lineup. That's Tim Duncan.
Well, that's the most legendary. Yeah.
So who else is he? Who else?
Just because it didn't translate to a championship doesn't mean he didn't translate the players.
Okay. So what's another example of Greg Popovich?
He had a dynasty, bro.
I know that, but I'm saying, despite that, our conversation right now is what is another situation like right now? What's the situation with
Now they're not as great compared, you know, to that trio of Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili, but they're still good. He's still making these not so highly named players into, you know, they're something. They're not scrubs.
But that's like one scenario.
On any other team, they'd be scrubs.
He's a team builder.
Like, who specifically, though?
Let's say Lonnie Walker.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. DeJounte Murray.
I know who he is.
Yeah, but he's
LaMarcus
a team builder,
Aldridge
bro.
Is aging.
He doesn't need the stars.
Yeah, but LaMarcus Aldridge was established before he went to the Spurs.
Right, but he already came over there pretty old, so he's their vet.
Now, what have they done since the whole Tim Duncan, Manu, and Tony Parker?
They've made the playoffs every year except, I think, last year. And COVID might have had a part of that.
Kawhi came from there, right?
Yeah, Kawhi was from there.
So is anybody picking Phil Jackson over Pop then?
Yeah.
You're going to pick Phil Jackson.
Why?
It's all situational.
Okay.
It's a situation, bro. So if we're going off of what you guys are saying, where you're getting these guys, you know what I mean, and he knows certain attributes they're good at, and he can put that to the spotlight, even though like I said, he only had one situation with those guys. Think of a guy like Phil Jackson, who can get a superstar like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan has always been legendary, but Michael Jordan was taught the art of teamwork through Phil Jackson on how to get your teammates involved and how to win. It's not all about you. It's about winning. And then it's translated to Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. And he did that there. That, to me, embodies what a coach should be, knowing your specialty. And it could be in totally different ways. Greg Popovich is better at bringing those guys who are good at one thing and putting them in different positions. But then Phil Jackson is a guy who could be like, listen, you think you're the best? That's cool. I'm going to let you know you're really good, but you're nothing without this guy and this guy and this guy. And without those guys, you could drop 50, 60 points a game. But guess what? That's translating to shit, and you ain't going to make the finals. But and that's, to me, is what makes a championship coach.
Let me say this. Are Ginobili and Parker who they are without Popovich?
I mean, that's...
Give
that's
them any other coach.
You can't say
that.
Do
they still become who they were?
It's impossible to say.
It's not impossible.
How do you say it's possible?
That defines, you know, who Popovich is.
Well, I mean, explain how it's possible to relate how they would be under a different coach.
In the flip side.
If they were to have D'Antoni.
In the flip side.
How would they have been?
Is Kobe and Shaq who they are without Phil Jackson?
No, that's my point.
No?
No.
No, I don't believe that.
They both played without them.
So that's why I picked Pop. I feel like Pop.
Shaq went to the finals with the Magic.
Yeah, but okay.
Without Phil.
I want to interject
real quick. But look at that. But okay, yeah, understandable. Shaq won a
championship in Miami without Phil.
He's got some
Yeah, what
fires
you
got to
say,
right
Phil?
Then you also had Pat Riley, though. Phil. You had Pat Riley in the backup. Then you're bringing up a whole other coach who's a legendary coach.
What you got?
Pat Riley's another legend. You know what I mean? You got to think about where they're going, too. Phil Jackson knew how to coach the superstars and lower their ego to make everybody else involved. And then also, you know, in Pop's defense, he knew where everybody belonged, and he knew that ball movement was the key. Phil Jackson was a triangle guy to keep your top guys involved. So at the end of the day, it's who the player is going to be playing with, which coach.
Right.
Is it an elite player who's a shoot-first guy who needs those looks, and when he can't, he got a guy who's open for three? Or is it a guy like Manu, who could dribble, oh, nothing there, pass the TP, hit the three, or pass down to the post for Tim Duncan to work his magic down there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's hard to say because that's all Greg Popovich is known for is those guys. Jackson's known for having Kobe and Michael Jordan and putting those egos in check.
So
that's legendary shit right there.
Yeah. So before 2001, could you name the GM of the Spurs?
To this day, I can't.
Me neither. You want to know who it is?
Who?
Greg Popovich.
Wow.
All right, so...
So he's the GM
now,
or he's always been?
No,
I know he always had some say in who they wanted to draft.
He was the GM from 1994 to 2001. He drafted Manu, and he drafted Parker.
He built his own
team. He handpicked all his teams. I know that.
So...
Technically the GM, though.
I searched it up, and I researched it, and I saw that, and it blew my mind because Popovich literally drafted those guys and said, "Now I want to coach."
Right.
And he got on the floor.
Does that make him a better
coach? He was already the coach.
Or does that make him better?
He started coaching in 2002.
Or does that make him better, more knowledgeable?
He drafted Parker, he drafted Manu, and then he became the coach in 2002.
Well, I look at it this way.
That's ridiculous.
When Phil Jackson took over the Bulls, they already had Michael Jordan and I believe Scottie Pippen as well.
And they were doing nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
And then when he took over the Lakers, he already had Kobe and I believe he already had Shaq as well.
As soon as he left the Bulls, I'm pretty sure he went right to the Lakers.
Right, and he already had them. So my thing is, like T said, Greg Popovich literally built his team from who he wanted from all over the world.
But that's a GM skill, Big Mike. I'm talking about coaching people who are on the floor. I'm not talking about recruiting players. That's a whole different establishment. And kudos to Pop for being able to know who he could coach. But if Phil Jackson is thrown with two egos, like a Kobe and a Shaq,
I agree
and learn
that.
How to, even though they fought and they argued, they won championships. No, and that's just legendary. That's down in the... that's going to be forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No.
So it's like, can you be a guy who, I'm going to pick this guy, because I feel like I could coach all of them and they'll all listen to me? Or can you be a guy like Phil Jackson and be like, listen, I'm a nobody, but do you know what Zen is? Do you know what meditation is? Do you know what yoga is? Like, and be like, and be that person to calm an ego down to where ego can coexist with other people.
Because
Michael Jordan, as egotistical as he was, Michael Jordan passed the fucking ball if somebody was open and he wasn't open. He wasn't a stupid playmaker.
Right. And I don't disagree. I don't disagree with you. And I agree that Phil Jackson did elevate these players. And you're right. So it's two different aspects.
Totally different scenarios.
Right. And I think that's really where we can agree.
And you know what, Big Mike? That's the beauty of a free thinker. When it's all said and done, as a team, as a fan, as friends, as a leader or even an individual, just remember, it's always okay to agree to disagree. And I know tonight we touched a lot of topics, but mostly we hit leaderships, role-playing, and adapting to the times. Now, if there's one thing I can say to the followers, to the family, how are we going to unite? How are we going to show leadership? Those looking for guidance. How are we going to become a whole? How are we going to become that team that's going to win the Super Bowl, to win the championship? Let's show up. Let's show love. Let's unite.
I love that. I love that. And on that note, I'm going to, you know, finish this off. I'm here with Mr. J. Buddha.
Yes, sir.
Marucci Velico.
Yo, this is for me, gente.
Mr. T.
Oh, yeah, Mr. T in the house.
And yours truly, Trey Williams.
The one and only.
And this is Big Mike the Don. And I hope you have a good day, no matter what day you're listening to this podcast. And always remember, reverse the universe.
Reverse the universe.